Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Andrea, or as most people call me, Anj.
And this is Trendish.
We'll be covering relationships, faith, leadership, health, and everything in between. I'll definitely troll.
And I'll probably cry.
And we're so glad you're here to witness the whole thing.
Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
Hey, Anj.
Is that our opening statement? Just, hey, Anj.
Probably.
I think every time, you know.
You want to switch roles and
no,
you do this?
No, on the other one I do, he was asking me one time too. He was like, so why? I can't
Who's
remember.
Who's he?
Jared on the other podcast I do. I skipped a whole sentence.
Uh-huh, yeah. Wow, that was real important context.
I still have the mom fog, you know. Anyway, he was saying, he always was like, wow, I don't remember it anymore, but it was something like morning, good evening, good afternoon.
Like he has a phrase.
Yeah, well, unintentionally, but like every single time now we notice he does it. So now he just does it every single time.
Uh-huh.
And I started thinking about that with us. I think Jamie just says, hi, Anj.
Yeah.
Hey, Anj.
Hey, Anj. We're back. I usually say we're back.
We're back. Yeah. So tell us people if you don't like it. Want a new intro? I think that's what we're going
with. I thought about cutting our intro, but it's neither here nor there.
Intro?
Just like shorter.
Oh, are you talking
like,
about the music?
Yeah. Like nobody listens to that.
Oh, I'm talking about the first thing you say. Oh. We could cut this whole thing.
Yeah, we sure
we're
could.
Clearly in a brainstorming phase. So hello, people.
Greetings. It's a Thursday night, which is shocking for us. I'm not a nighttime recorder.
No.
On my best from 7:30 a.m. to about 11:30 a.m.
Or on a weekend. Actually, yeah, we record like 11 on a weekend. So yeah, that's spot on for you.
That's when I'm at my best.
I'm at my best from 7:30 p.m. to 11:30.
How are we friends? Actually.
I don't know. I'm just convinced it happens.
We literally have a window of time where we talk for about maybe 3 hours in the evening.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's like 6 to 9
but
or like 5 to 8.
Would you agree I've been better about like texting during the day?
Oh, texting during the day? Yeah. I honestly, yeah.
I know.
I think something's wrong sometimes, but.
I know. Which feels
except
like.
Except for you didn't text me back today and I called you.
I know. That's because I was in a meeting.
Oh, I figured.
But.
Living your real life.
Yeah. I've been kind of proud of myself, which seems like any other person would be like, man, I shouldn't be texting during the day. But I'm over here like, cool, I responded to
no,
somebody.
Yeah, no, you don't, I'm you don't chit-chat during the day. Like,
no,
you haven't
no.
switched to that. But if I'm like, hey, Jamie, do you think I'm alive right now? You would at least now respond like, yes.
Yeah.
You know, before it wouldn't be like 3 hour long pauses. But from what I hear, you're in your slow season now. So maybe that's attributing
no, you
to texting
me
back.
I was in my slow season, so whatever.
That's what I've heard. I thought it's like, you know.
Well, I'm not in, like,
slow.
The freaking sprint of August.
Yeah, so there we are.
Feels great, so.
Text people back during the day. Feels great.
Yeah.
I'm giving advice to the people.
Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in again. We are here to talk about church and ministry and how oftentimes we get hurt from the church. Kind
and
of
the
a loaded...
ministry.
What?
Yeah, and
well,
the
yeah.
ministry.
In
I thought it was funny you said that.
Yeah. They're all lumped together.
Yeah, no,
honestly,
it's fine.
I didn't grow up in that world, so like, this is just, yeah, it's not.
No,
really
it's very. That's the correct word. I don't know why it was just so funny hearing it out of your mouth. The ministry.
Probably because it's so not me.
Yeah, probably.
So I think, you know, we kind of want to share our perspectives on like what that means for us, how you get over hurt, what that's looked like, what kind of experiences you've had personally. But I think it's helpful probably to give some context to your upbringing. What
yeah.
are you used to? Like, what kind of language? What kind of environment? Do you want to start?
Me.
No, the other person.
We should have another person in the room for this one.
Yeah, we should. We might do a part two.
I think we will. Yeah, I think that'll be great. Yeah, I grew up in a... Well, I grew up in New... we've talked about this, obviously, but if you're a new listener... I grew up in upstate New York, and that is a very different church world than, like, you know, here in
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Bible Belt,
mm-hmm.
technically. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't, there weren't, like, all these churches you choose from. Not all the people around you go to church, but, like, don't, like, I mean, it was very few people who I even knew that actually went to church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very, it was very, not as normalized, I guess you could say. But very normal in my world. My friends were, like, all from my church, not from my school.
Mm.
Grew up that, like, church kid to the, you know, to the core.
I literally didn't have, like, church friends.
That's all I had.
That's
I didn't
so
have
weird.
School friends. I had a boyfriend at school. mm-hmm. and who I really kind of brought over to church anyway, and then like maybe two school friends.
It's wild.
I know. I was actually thinking about it the other day, and I was like, man, I don't know. I wouldn't have known how to like socialize, I think, in like, you know, like the normal school. Like, I never went to like Friday night party. Well, I never went to my school's Friday night parties, you know, or anything like that. Went to your church's
Friday night parties?
Yeah. We literally church Friday nights.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not what I thought you meant there, but.
No, I know.
I realized that.
So, yeah, we grew up with, it switched a little bit. I can't fully remember it, but we grew up, from what I remember, going to church on Friday nights and Sunday mornings religiously.
Wednesday?
We switched to Wednesday. So that's what I mean. Not normal. Upstate New York, not normal. We did end up switching to Wednesday, if I remember correctly, like maybe towards the end of like my senior year, but almost all of growing up, it was Friday night and it was Sunday morning. Now I think it's Wednesday. I can't fully remember, but I just, yeah, for sure the Friday night thing.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I love God. Love him. Okay? I don't want to go to church on Friday night.
It was truly all I knew. Like, I wouldn't have known what to do if we weren't at church. I literally don't know what I would have done.
Anything else.
This is what I'm saying. This is the world I grew up in. Like, we just knew. It was not even I did not grow up in a house where I had to wake up asking, like, Mom, are we going to church today? Oh, Angela, Perry? Absolutely not. We were there. And then up until sixth grade, I was in slacks.
Were you excited when the answer was like, was there ever a time when you didn't go? Like, were you ever like,
no,
shocked that like, wait, we're not going?
Oh, yeah. I would have been shocked. I can't even remember.
Were you excited?
There is one time that I can remember not going to church in my life. And I know there's more. My mom's rolling her eyes at me. But there's only one time that I can remember. Uh-huh. And I don't know what it was, but I was literally probably like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. And I just remember so distinctly going downstairs. And my dad was like, basically like, we're tired. We're not going to church today. And I was like, what? And then we looked through family like picture, like photo albums. Uh-huh. That's all I remember. I think it might have been after a birthday party. My parents were like tired or something. But man, yeah, otherwise we didn't go.
I live my life tired, so I mean, yeah. You're lucky if you catch me.
I will say we didn't go on like in vacation. Like, we weren't the family that did that. Like, definitely
to
not.
To find a random church in Florida?
Yeah, no. My parents were really, I mean, my mom was a pastor at the church. My dad was an elder. They were both very involved.
Yep.
It was, you know, involved in our church.
Yeah.
And so we always went, but I didn't know anything different. Like, I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I did hate waking up Sunday morning, that's for sure. Like, but I didn't even hate waking up. I just hated waking up thinking, like, I have to get, like, church dressed.
Yes.
Tomboy for life. I did not. I was like, I don't want to wear this.
Mm-hmm. What denomination?
Not non-denominational.
Got it.
And because it was non-denominational, I have to humbly say, I didn't know what any of the words meant when I came to ORU. When
what
they
words?
Were like,
what do you mean words?
Evangelical, Baptist.
I didn't know what AG was.
AG. Yep, that's one. Like, I was just like
Pentecostal.
I thought it was all the same thing. I just thought, like, if they think different than me, they're probably like Baptist or Pentecostal or evangelical or anything. I don't know. I truly did not know. So, I mean, I figured it out along the way. Kind of. I still confused them.
You tell you make it.
Yeah, I did. I never really told anyone I didn't know, but I was just like, oh, yeah, I go to evangelical school.
Uh-huh.
Did I? It was evangelical, right?
Yeah, I'd say it's evangelical.
I don't know.
E-free, as some people like to call it.
Well, I've never heard that. That's a new one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But to the core, like, in the language, I would say it was still definitely, it was non-denominational, but I think it was a little bit like, a little bit of blend of all of it, but like on the evangelical side, really strongly emphasized like scripture too, though. So it was a little bit of blend of both, but charismatic, that's the word I'm looking for. Still on the charismatic side.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. Are we going to talk about speaking in tongues?
Maybe.
That's what it was.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was not my story.
I know, that's why I thought we were going to start with you, because I was just like,
well, no,
you have the interesting one.
Yours is interesting to people that grew up in my world.
Going to church on Friday.
Yeah, honestly. What? Who chooses that? People that love God choose that.
Yeah. Also, it probably would be important to say the one difference in me growing up is my mom was the pastor. People, not the, she wasn't the main pastor of the church, but like between my two parents, my mom was the pastor, and people find that fascinating, especially around here.
If they know you, it's not fascinating.
No, it's not. It's, it actually makes a lot of sense. But yeah. Yeah, like she was the one who worked at the church for like 25 years and the pastor role. And my dad had a huge part too, especially on the weekends, but she was the pastor. So that's kind of all the, that's a lot of my upbringing right there.
Well, mine was so different than that. I grew up.
You were in marching band.
I was.
You went to school parties.
I did go to school parties. I did. My mom still refuses to believe me about that. But maybe after she hears this, she won't anymore. So I grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
So my family's Catholic. I'm from Minnesota, so it's pretty normal. The churches I'm used to are like Lutheran and Catholic school. There was maybe 3 homeschool kids.
Oh, yeah. I did not grow up with a lot of homeschoolers. That was new coming over you. It's like, wow, it's a whole community.
I mean,
here.
No offense to this, but like they were weird.
Yeah. No, me too.
The
yeah.
3 homeschoolers were weird.
Yeah. It wasn't until I came down here that I met like normal.
Cool people.
Homeschoolers. Yeah.
I seriously mean that with no offense, but I just, yeah.
Yeah. It was different.
So it was like that. That was it. I mean, I'm from a small town. So like there's one Catholic church. There's one.
And if you're a Catholic, church. That's what you went to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few more now. So, I mean, I'm not going to go into the details of, like, why we switched and whatever, but I went to Catholic school until I was in high school. My family switched going to the Catholic church when I was in, like, 5th grade, probably, 4th or 5th grade. So, even though I went to Catholic school, I went to a non-denominational church.
It's also non-denominational.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I never hear that word down here.
Yeah, no.
Like, never. I've never really heard somebody else say that, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I was 8 years old when I heard you say that, and I was 8 years old when I just found out that you went to Catholic school till high school.
You, what?
I thought that you only did that till, like, 5th grade.
No.
Yeah, wow. Well, I just learned 2 new things.
Yeah, in my grade, there was, like, maybe 50 of us, and I was probably related to half of them. So, that's that. I mean, because, like, all
did
of my
extended
did
you go to a public
family,
school after you...
Yeah, public high school. Oh. That's all there is.
So... Like, all of high school, you went to public high school?
Yeah.
Oh, so literally up to high school, and then you went. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So, like, I grew up in the world of, like, you get, you know, you go through First Communion, you go through Reconciliation. I think that's those are the 2 main ones. Because I didn't go to CCD, I could not tell you what that means.
I was just about to say what you got to say what that is.
I don't know, but it's like, if you're in the Catholic Church, but you go to public school, you go to CCD.
What, because like you're a school? Not, is that like
no,
a class?
No, it's like an after school thing. It's like to get confirmed. Huh. So I'm really rusty on this stuff. So you're really making me work for it. But yeah, so you get confirmed. I forget what age you are when you get confirmed.
Wait, did you go to CCD?
No, because I was at that point not Catholic anymore.
Oh.
But like we had kids that went to my school that were Lutheran. So, like, when they went up to take Eucharist, they would just cross their arms and they wouldn't actually take it because they weren't Catholic, because you technically have to be Catholic in order to take it.
Right.
So, if you've seen Lady Bird, that's a great reference. It's hilarious, but it's great. So, yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of, like, revelation since being, you know, out of the Catholic Church and just how interesting it was. Like, every Friday we went to Mass. So our classes were a little bit shorter. So we, like, had an hour-long Mass every Friday morning.
Like a service.
Yeah. And I was always so glad that classes were shorter on Fridays. I remember liking Lent season because it felt shorter, because we don't actually sing during Lent. Because it's, like, a very, like, you know, somber time.
Sure.
So I remember it just felt like it went quicker, which in reality, if I were to go now, it probably would have felt slower. But I think lately I've been reflecting on reconciliation and just, like, how crazy it is to
me. Yeah, you've brought that up a few times.
Yeah, it's. I was just talking to it with one of my good friends that also went to Catholic school. But, like, starting in 2nd grade, you go and sit with a priest and confess your sins.
Why is it 2nd grade?
That's when you get... that's when you go through reconciliation.
Oh. Huh.
So you, like, go through, like, curriculum to, like, at these different points. So, I don't know. I remember, like, sitting in the chapel and, like, you know, you're spaced out between your classmates. And there's, like, a few different priests, like, spread out around the room. And some of them are behind, like, those, like, dividers, you know?
Yeah.
You just, like, go and sit there and you're literally, like, whispering because you don't want anybody else to hear what your sins are. And I just remember, like, racking my brain, sitting in the pew, trying to think of what I did wrong. And I still remember, like, telling this priest, this old white man, that I had an attitude because I didn't want to do the dishes.
Sounds appropriate.
Honestly, it's accurate. Like, I could probably still confess that sin. But then you just, you know, you get your penance of, like, I want you to say 3 Glory Bees and 2 Hail Marys, and your sins are, you know, forgiven, and I want you to reflect on, you know, our conversation. So then you, like, go back to your pew, and you kneel and say your prayers, and then you'd sit back down and wait for everybody else to finish their confessions.
So interesting.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I've just been reflecting on that a lot. I think what's interesting about my journey is that's how I was brought up. I obviously went to a charismatic church for a while and, like, dabbled in it, I would say. Like, I went to youth group, but it was, like, literally 11 people and 9 of them were either my siblings or my cousins. So, and they're all boys. So, like, I wasn't sharing. It's so, like, you have these churches here in the Bible Belt that are, like, hundreds and hundreds of kids. And, like, they want to go to youth group. Oh, my gosh. It was painful. It was, like, so awkward.
Yeah.
But I remember getting to ORU and just, like, loving the, you know, the charismatic side of it. And just, like, how alive it felt like people were.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is the older I've gotten, the more I've gone back to that liturgical side, like the reverence side, where it's not like this showy, like if you're crying, you're having this more, you know, impactful moment with the Lord. Like, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So I've appreciated that actually about my journey.
Yeah.
The fact that it doesn't have to be this like huge, loud moment or hands raised, like on your knees sobbing type of experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just been interesting to see kind of the journey I've had. So, so different than yours. Like, I did not go to church on Fridays. There were Sundays that it was like, we're not going to church. And I was so glad.
We always had plans after, though. We would go to church and then, like, religiously every Friday. I mean, my parents had to know. Either my friends were coming over or we were going over there. Or we were. Our Friday nights basically just started at 10 p.m. instead of,
and that, you know, 7 so or 8. Feels so right for you. So right for you.
Yeah, it was. I guess I didn't mind it because they were my only friends. So it's like my friends were going to be there. Uh-huh. And yeah, and I wasn't missing anything at school. Like, didn't really like vibe with any of my school friends. It's not like I was, you know, what else would I have been doing?
Yeah.
So, and we had a bigger, like you mentioned, it was also like a bigger youth group. It wasn't like 11 people, and it also wasn't the masses like it is down here, but it was, I mean, pretty good size. Do you feel like I was thinking about this when you were talking about the, like, the repentance stuff and all that, but you feel like you're a guilt-ridden person by nature? Like, you could...
I feel like that's a leading question.
It is. Like, you could step on an ant and be like, oh, gosh, I should have, like, walked the other way, or just, I don't know. I mean, not really, because you don't care about bugs, but in the sense, and, like, the dramatics of it. Do you feel like that comes from, like...
So you're saying
that understanding,
like, that
at such a young age? Yeah. That you're guilt-ridden? Or do you think you're not? Wow.
I wouldn't remember.
I'm going to put a poll on the gram this week, coming week, because I think anyone who knows you...
Can you unpack that?
What?
I'm so serious.
Am I using the right words? Guilt-ridden means you feel guilty a lot?
Yeah.
Do
I feel guilty a lot?
You've said this with your own mouth. Words.
Give me an example.
Well, the people are here to witness. quite a different. I thought that we were just going to talk about it, but apparently we have to go back. Like, really? No, okay, well, first of all, you're, like, guilty about anything, like, with work. Like, you mess one little thing up, and you're like, oh, I just, like, shouldn't have, I don't know.
Okay, is it done this or that? Like that?
Absolutely not. No. No. Fun fact, no. Most people would be like, well, that was on this person.
Well, I'm not like, going to put that on somebody else.
Yeah, right. So, okay, so there's one example in that phase of your life.
Oh, I understand. It's, do yeah, you? I understand.
Did we finally circle all the way around? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Have I? Maybe. I mean, I think I
just find it interesting how much, like, you know, guilt you can sometimes have towards things. And then I don't know if it played a role.
Maybe. I don't know that I've ever made the correlation, but I wouldn't be surprised. I don't, I'll be honest, I don't ever, I mean, it's hard to speak for who I was 20 years ago, but I don't really remember reconciliation being impactful.
Yeah. So,
like, I don't remember, like, actually doing my penance and leaving feeling a weight lifted. Or, like, I was free.
Yeah, that's why I would think that that's where... Because, I mean, guilt isn't freedom, necessarily, you know?
Yeah, I guess... Yeah, maybe, I guess. It just didn't feel like it actually worked. Which, I'm not knocking Catholicism.
Yeah.
Like, there are some... I mean, some of my family is very devout and, like... Some of the best people I know.
Oh, one of the best books I read is Bridges so much of this. Like, it's that one book I mentioned before, Chasing Francis.
Yes.
He literally goes from being like a megachurch pastor, the charismatic kind of stuff that you mentioned. And then basically has to like find himself and his truth and all that. And like goes and essentially like follows the life and the path of, I think it's St. Francis.
Probably,
I'm pretty sure that's who it is. Yeah. And, like, the Catholic... And it's a really interesting book. I've never talked, like, super in-depth about what it is, but, like, he debunks a lot of, I think, some Christians, especially in, like, the charismatic world, will have really, I don't know, blanketed statements about Catholicism. And it's interesting the way that the author wrote this one. But he says some of them, like, well, you prayed... I can't go to that church. You guys pray to...
Mary.
Yeah, Mary. Like, doesn't matter. Yeah, anything.
St. Anthony, if you lose something.
Yeah, he uses, like, he just goes through this a bunch of different times. And just, I don't know, the writing of it was really interesting. It gave me a very different appreciation for Catholicism in that way. So, no, nothing on that exactly. But I just found, I was like, man, if I had to, like, be repenting, which I guess in the Christian world, there's, like, repentance, too, in a different way.
It's accountability.
Yeah.
But it feels like you choose it. You're not forced into it.
Not force, yeah. The forcing part. At such a young age, just makes me wonder. I was like, well, I wonder if that actually affects like how you view your decisions, you know, now.
Yeah.
Obviously, I haven't thought about it, so we didn't really get too much of a deep answer. But for the rest of the people listening, they can think about if that would
have I'd like to consider
affected
it.
Them.
I'd like to consider it.
Mm-hmm. I should have asked earlier. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah. Thanks for indulging us on that.
Yeah. Topic. So I think like because I didn't really grow up in that like. Environment where it was like the culture, like it didn't feel like the culture where it was like down here where it's like it's cool to be part of a church, it's sought after, it's
in some
like,
circles.
Yeah I mean if we're talking about the Bible Belt specifically, like
it's not strange,
it's a huge degree.
Yeah,
so it was always interesting to me hearing about people. Number one, that, like, wanted to go into ministry for the rest of their lives, because that was, like, so not what I was interested in. But two, like, the hurt side of it. Like, it felt like everybody came out the other side of it broken.
Hmm. Yeah.
And bitter.
Hmm.
And, like, they had gone through something they would never recover from.
Well, now we're getting into the deep stuff.
And, like, that feels so foreign to me, because that was just so not my world. I get it now, just because I've been down here longer as a normal, real human, as opposed to, like, my development stages. But I just wonder, like, did you ever experience that side of church?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to. It's just, like, that's like asking, have you been hurt in your marriage? Absolutely. Do I still love John? Like, sure. 100%, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, has he probably hurt me the most out of any human in my life? Yeah. because I'm the closest to him, you know? Yeah. And so, especially for people who really get invested in the church or a faith or ministry or whatever it is, and it becomes so much a part of their world, I think you're inevitably going to come across that at some point, because the church is a beautiful entity and a beautiful thing, but it is also run by people who are not perfect and will inevitably hurt, intentionally or not, I think most often not intentionally, the people around them. We're all of us are going to do that. And so, I don't know, I think we talk about a lot in relationships, like, well, to love is to hurt, or I don't know, name one of those like poems, those fancy ones that are like, it's better to love and lose than to never love at all or something.
I believe that.
And we have so much grace for that in relationships, but that is also the church. Like, yeah, it will be the most, it is a place where I've felt the most like loved and had some of the best experiences in relationships. And it is also the place where I've felt some of the most pain, some of the most rejection, some of the most hurt.
Manipulation.
Yeah. And I mean, that is, I could say it of a lot of my relationships too. You know, they kind of go hand in hand. Not that I'm minimizing or saying it's okay for churches. Mm-hmm. I think we've actually gotten a lot better in accountability with churches, which I think is great. Like the church and like at large, structure wise. And that's not the case for all of them, but some of the ones I've been more involved with, I've been really grateful for the accountabilities that even the accountability that even leaders are putting themselves under now. Like, that's great. And so there's obviously ways to minimize the hurt, I think. I'm not saying that I'm just like allowing it, but I am also saying I don't know how we can love something that deeply and still just be shocked and awed when there's hurt in that, wrapped up in that mix somewhere too.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it is that like it's actually harder for people to have grace in mistakes made at church? Like, you make a mistake in a business, you screwed up, do mm-hmm. it better next time, mm-hmm. you know? But like, I feel like in a church setting, it's like you're burned.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I don't know, that's such a loaded question, because I guess I'm thinking of so many different examples, like especially now even businesses are burned too, like this cancel culture is yeah. all over the whole, I mean, every place that you touch. And so
tread lightly.
It's really hard to say, because I'm like, I don't know, I've seen some few the same people burned in like businesses for the same reasons as like a ministry. But I just think that my overall answer maybe would be, what separates church from a business in that way is, I think it's the way that we think about it and the way that we're introduced to it. So I mean, a business is not necessarily requiring something of me, right? It might require a purchase, it might require my money. It might require me to work out at its gym.
As a customer.
Yeah, I'm a customer. Right. A church requires a different part of you, and it also requires you to have some sort of worldview and understanding. I don't have to have a worldview to go to Best Buy and buy a phone charger.
It does feel like we're moving in that direction, though. Like, there are a lot of people that won't go to certain businesses.
No, that's why it's such a big question. I mean, 10 years ago, maybe it wouldn't have felt as loaded, but I'm like, well, now that's a really loaded question. If I'm talking in what it has been, mm-hmm. And even that's a good example now, I really don't think I think there's a lot of blend everywhere, so this really goes for everything. But I think for the people that I've known that have had the most church hurt, now is kind of the time, in the last 10 years is kind of the time that they've had to deal with that. And the only, one of the biggest differences I think of is, one, they were never allowed to ask the questions that they've really probably wondered their whole life. Mm-hmm. And when they got the answer they didn't want, now 10 years later, they can't accept it. And so I think that's one thing. But then I do think the other part of it as well is, it does require, just like a relationship, it does require something of you. And when that's not met in the way that you want it to be, just like now a breakup, mm-hmm. I think it's easier to just toss it out completely sometimes. And I will say this too, there are some ministries that your season really might be done in sometimes, so just like a breakup. But when I'm talking about like the capital C church, to be clear, I'm kind of talking about that overall, and I yeah. think that's a little different than like, no, I genuinely was hurt at my local church. Like, absolutely, I think that's real.
Yeah.
Step out, find healing. But the big capital C church is what I think the most people are angry by, and I think a lot of it is caused by the little ones, mm-hmm. the little C's. I've talked about C's in both of these.
No, I think that's so true.
But so they attribute it towards the greater, you know, the greater bride of the church.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to reconcile that.
for myself, because I never, like, really grew up in the culture of it, like, I've never, I think, partially from my own experience, like, I haven't really been hurt by the church.
Yeah.
Which feels rare these days.
Yeah.
And it, I think part of it is, like, I'm just not letting the church get close enough.
Yeah.
So that I don't actually get hurt.
Yeah.
So that I keep a nice view of it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly what I would say.
Okay.
As well.
Rude.
Not in a bad way. I just, what, I mean, even when we were going in this, you're like, I haven't really been hurt by the church. I was thinking to myself, like, well, yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I'm not.
For those reasons, yeah.
So close to it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I would say you don't always have to be a volunteer at church. Like, there are seasons where you don't have to do that.
No, but being that's a good, that's a, another big can of worms, I think, as well. Because, like, then when you say being involved in church, so what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you can still be close to the church and not be the burned out volunteer as well, you know?
I would hope so.
Yeah, and that, I think that... that now drips down into the little C churches, cultures.
Yeah.
I've been involved in churches where they are so great with their volunteers. You don't serve more than once. The expectations are really clear leading in. If you want to serve more, you always can, but they're pretty true to, like, what they mean and what they say about how often and how much they will ask of you. And it's also true that if you get, like, on their elder board or something, there's also more asked of you, and those expectations are also clear too, but that is something you choose.
Yeah.
And I've also been in churches where that's not the case. And you're, like, leaving, you know, mid-services to go and volunteer because there's simply not enough people as well. And so you kind of get stuck in the mix of almost, like, a works-based mentality now yeah. seeping into, like, church and even into your relationship with God, too. So there's a very wide spectrum in churches on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't like the notion. I have a hard time with some of the generalized things that people assume of churches. And I get it, because for a lot of people, it's all they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just would encourage to say that your one experience with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 churches still can't be the whole church at large.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to go down this trail, but then I think that also leads the question to, this is really true for people our age, that basically just can't get, like, they are a Christian. They love the Lord. I really think they do have a relationship with him. But church isn't a requirement in that,
mm-hmm.
in the world that they're in right now. Just, yeah, whatever. Like, in their routine, rhythm is probably a better word for it. But in their rhythm, church isn't a requirement. And I had to do my own personal digging there, because I grew up with it ingrained in my rhythm.
Yeah.
So for it to be out was like, I just was like, that's, you know, what you do. And so I went full circle with it, too. I wouldn't say that. Like, well, not go on a Sunday, I wouldn't say it's as necessarily as religious as it was
mm-hmm.
growing up. But I think you do have to kind of arrive to a point within yourself as well where you determine that rhythm for you.
Yeah.
You could probably speak to that.
I absolutely could, Anj, and I would like to.
I was trying to wrap it around in a way of basically asking you.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, share your experience.
Chat about that. I mean, I think I'm just going to say, I hate that this is going to be the first thing I say, but, like, it's different going to church alone. Like, you have no accountability.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so
yeah.
I could go, show up, and leave, and, like, nobody's seen me.
Yeah.
And that's my choice.
Yeah.
Like, that's on me for not, like, going out of my way to make connections, talk to people, whatever. Like, it's not the church's job to create those relationships for me.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that. I'm just, I guess, sharing where I don't love that place always. Like,
yeah.
And I think it's easy to not always go because I don't have anybody, like, pushing me there. Like, I mean, you do sometimes, or other friends do, but, like, it's different than if you have, like, a spouse or like, even if you're in college where it's like, we're going to church, like, get in the car. Kind of thing.
Oh yeah, college was the easiest.
Yeah, it was
pick a person.
It was an event.
Yeah, right.
You exactly. went to brunch after, whatever. And, like,
yeah.
That still happens on occasion when I go, but I would say it's a lot easier to stay out of the habit of going especially with COVID and stuff, like, I'm going to be honest, like, I totally got out of the habit of it because it wasn't actually happening.
Oh, so many people, yeah.
And so I think, I don't know, I found my myself in a place where I'm like, I'm not a greeter. That's not me. Like, I don't want to be a greeter. That's not my vibe. Like,
there are so many.
Right. And that's it. Like, there are so many other places to get involved in a church. And I think so often, especially in this world, like, it looks like you have to be an extrovert in order to be a volunteer. Yeah. And I'm not.
That's not me.
I'm a chameleon and I can play both sides. But especially on the weekends, like, I don't really want to play that role.
Yeah. I attend a church that, like, prides itself, not prides itself in a bad way, but is very adamant, especially for the like, greeter team, that, like, you should walk away, like, knowing all the names of the people you met that day. Like, know their names, and when you see them again, say their names.
Mm-hmm.
Really big on names. Also, really great principle.
You are horrible at names.
So that's where I was going to land. This is our, like, first week serving. It's me and John. This is before we even had kids. I mean, it's so long ago. And they tell us that, and I immediately thought, this is not for me. I already know this is, I'm going to do this for a little while, but this is not me. This is John. He will remember every name of every person he met, their whole life, circumstances, story.
Fascinating. Because, like, sometimes you tell him things on a daily basis and he doesn't remember anything.
Yep. Don't remember that Liam has a doctor appointment, even though I told you 15 times yesterday, but you do remember that that person's name was Jacob, and he works at St. Francis, and he worked at St. John's before that, and he moved here from Texas, and, you know, all the things.
And rant.
Yeah. But so great. He's like, so, and I think that was maybe one of the first times we both had to do our own. He grew up a little similar as well, non-denominational, really charismatic, mm-hmm. Northeast church. And we also had our fair share, especially early on in marriage without kids. Really easy to not go to church. It's there's always a time to not want to go. It is always more convenient to stay home. It's always more convenient.
Yeah.
So we went through, like, a little bit of a season of that, too. So this is when we were in our season of trying to figure out, like, how do we want to be a part of a church? Like, what is our, you know, roles?
What kind of church do we want to go to?
Yes. I'm really big on serving where your strengths actually are, but that is true of, like, every area of my whole life. So absolutely. I'm just really passionate about that. Like, not everybody's a speaker reader. So John and I both signed up to be a reader, LOL, if you know me. And I was probably out in, like, 3 weeks. And so... And it wasn't until I asked more that there's, like, so many opportunities to do something outside of that, but also just the anecdote that I absolutely knew it wasn't for me when I had to remember someone's name mm-hmm. and actually go out of my way to talk to people. I was like, oh my gosh, this is my nightmare.
Actually, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. So.
Lots of opportunity, though.
Do you have any, like, I'm pivoting a little bit backwards, but, like, do you have any instances where you've, like, could share the hurt you've experienced? I can think of one for me, even though
I thought you were talking about for me. I was like, oh, tell me.
Well, no, I mean, I am talking to you.
Yeah, yeah, I thought you meant, like, you knew one for me.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I know one for myself.
Okay. Yeah, probably. You share. You start.
All right. Well, I definitely remember probably, like, 6 years ago going to this conference, and I just remember...
Yeah, freaking took one.
It's the only one I have, so let me
okay.
have it. And it was very, like, I was very behind the scenes, and I think this is the first time I've ever been behind the scenes in a church, and maybe the last time I've been behind the scenes in a church. Or ministry, I guess it was probably the better word. And I just remember walking away from that feeling like there was so much manipulation there, so much forced.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like this is not the move of God. You know, like, I just remember people, like, flooding to the altar to touch this man for him to heal. And I don't know if they didn't know, but he wasn't Jesus. So I remember, like, processing that and just, like, I feel like the few months after that, it was like, what even was that experience? And I never want to encounter that again.
Yeah.
Like, that is so far from authentic to me. Mm-hmm. And if that's what church is, I absolutely am never going to work mm-hmm. for a church.
Yeah.
And so, I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I'm assuming you don't I'm assuming you didn't attribute that to all churches, so what?
No.
What was your resolution?
Revelation. I don't know that I had, like, a, you know, this, like, moment where it all kind of clicked. I think I'm grateful to know that, like, it's people at the end of the day that, like, it's not God. Like, yeah. The ministry itself, like, it, in my head, it was just a misrepresentation of, like, true authenticity in knowing the Lord. And so I think I was able to separate that.
Yeah.
I think initially it was like, absolutely not. I'm not doing this. This is horrid. but I think just, I got a little bit of space and was able to like, yeah, separate the two.
Yeah.
And I was able to process it with safe people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that's huge.
Safe leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have to have that. I mean, and that is so true. If anybody I know that decided to process their church hurt like a different way and just kind of killed it altogether and isn't involved any at all anymore. A big part of it is, I said this before, but like having people that you can actually process that with and even validation in that like the things you're angry about are probably okay to be angry about.
I think there's valid.
There have been like so many times like the faith message or prosperity gospel or things like that that just you really do. You want to throw the baby out of the bathwater completely. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think you can process that yourself without the word, or we should say, first and foremost, like without truth in that. But, I mean, people also help kind of steer and guide you in mm-hmm. processing that truth as well. So I think that's huge. I don't know that there is, like, a specific instance I want to go into on church hurt, 'cause it would be very, like, personal probably for people involved. But I think at large, every single experience that I can think of that had some of, like, the hardest things for me to process or reasons that I myself would want to, like, never work for a ministry, never want to work for a church again, all were a result of people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the absolute greatest mentors and people I've known and, like, people I would still follow at the drop of the hat for this day also come out of churches and ministries. And it has been such a contradictory mm-hmm. thing in my life, but also a redemption thing, like for every moment where there was a deep relational hurt for one reason or another in a church or a ministry that I was in. I mean, I was very bitter and very cynical anytime coming out of that. And it's crazy because if I look at it like at my life on a timeline, it's almost every time from that low, what gets me back on like a high or the next thing that is the next positive influence in my life mm-hmm. ends up being a person and a person that comes out of church or ministry or whatever I'm kind of in at the time mm-hmm. as well. And so it's really twofold, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, and really hard to reconcile in that. But I think some of my biggest hurt essentially just comes from people not being who they say they are. Mm-hmm. And I think authenticity is something that people really value in our world, especially now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of inauthenticity, not authentic. I don't know if inauthenticity is a word or what the opposite of that would be, but there's a lot of people who aren't authentic. And I wanted to judge that so hard until I think I was in a position to have the opportunity to live both ways as well. And I realized, like, wow, that's freaking hard. And mm-hmm. some people do this their whole lives,
mm-hmm.
To which I got a lot more grace for. And I think it's really easy to judge something that you've never had to like sit on, or judge a position that you've never had to sit in, or judge a thing that you've never had to lead, or just judge something you never have to be a part of fully. And it's even easier to judge something that you were actually in completely
mm-hmm.
and have a lot of really valid hurt from. But I think at the end of the day, surrender, I hate to say this, but like there is a little bit of surrender that kind of has come with that for me, and what's kind of brought me to the other end of the healing on that side too, because I guess I realize I'm just as susceptible
mm-hmm.
but I don't really want to admit that. No one wants to admit that, but I am. And I think the more I learned about the ugliness of myself, the more grace I had towards the ugliness of those in the church, outside of the church, I mean really just those in general.
Yeah.
But my hurt was coming from the church, and so for my story it was more grace I had for people in the church, the more I realized the truth about myself,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. I think I've just always, you know, there's a lot to be said about the Catholic Church specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And not even, just the church in general. There's a lot of abuse and, moral failure that's come out of the church. And it's disappointing every time.
Yeah.
Like, and I hope it always is. Like, I hope that never feels like it's unemotional.
Right.
Like, I always want to grieve when the church fails.
Yeah.
Or the people in it fail. I think my prayer is that the people in ministry understand the weight that they carry.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much to be said for the influence and the power that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think about the weight that that leadership carries mm-hmm. with people and how much it matters and how much you can actually alter people's lives. And I think people lose sight of that. Maybe the more that they're in it, or maybe their, you know, intentions weren't great to begin with. But I just think more has come to light in the last few years, morally. It's always been there. But I think with social media and just how connected we are in the news and how many notifications we get, we hear about more of it.
Yeah.
And that grieves me always. And I think it takes a lot for the people of God to remain soft in those settings and to not get bitter about those instances. And that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, I remember one of the biggest pieces of advice I had when I was, like, trying to lead myself in ministry, but someone was like, you are going to, for the rest of your time in ministry, or in that time, you are going to have a really hard, how did she say it? It was, you're going to have to balance a hard exterior and a tender heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose the tender heart, your hard exterior is going to just seep right in. And that sounded like a cute, like, saying. At first I was like, oh, I'm going to write that down. Yeah. You don't need to write it down once you live it.
It's tattooed.
I was like, wow, that she's not lying. But sadly, like, I think that could be said even if you're not, like, in leadership or have a position. I just think that is, in the world we live in, now even outside of church, just culture in general, social media, everything, like, it is so easy to lose the tender heart towards people because, wow, that person was called a friend. I'm seeing what they post on their stories. I can't believe they believe that about the left or the right, or they're posting about this church, or they don't go to church at all anymore. And, oh my gosh, I just can't believe they walked away. And, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I can't believe they stayed. And, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're a part of this and a part of that. And, man, I think we're all just walking around with really hard hearts. And that is, church or not, there's no way to embrace community in a healthy way like that. And I obviously don't have any, like, practical handles on that, but I just think it's really important, that perspective, because even that kind of flows outside of the church. I think it was my boss, who, you just were touching on this with leaders, but I want to say it was him, and he was saying in leadership, you go through this, like, pendulum, not even a pendulum, because that would mean you go back, but it's, like, these stages if you're not careful, and I don't remember them completely, I wish I did, but it was something like, you start out with, like, wow, I don't even deserve to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, mm-hmm. look at, like, this.
Yeah.
This isn't anything, like, in a job and just whatever. He was even talking about it in, like, a corporate place. But I think this is really true of the church leadership, too. Like, wow, I don't deserve to be here. I can't believe I'm even here. And move to, like, wow, I get to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, you know, great. And then move to, I should be here.
Mm.
And then you move to, I don't need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, I don't need to serve. He was talking about it in a serving way. And there were, like, different things in between that. But it was a very interesting, like, there is not many people I know who went into ministry or any leadership position with this. Some do, but not a lot, I don't think.
They shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Step in with this, the last
chair,
for lack of a better word, that it's described, of this, like, I just should be here and, you know, I don't need to do anything.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot really do feel the weight going in. But he was saying that you, like, drift to this last seat more quickly than you realize
mm-hmm.
the longer that you're in leadership mm-hmm. just in general. And I just think that, especially in the church world, it's just, I think you know it when you say yes to it initially, but then you have to say yes to it every day. And at some point, I think a lot of us stop saying yes on the daily. And it's just hard. Like, I don't envy it. And I think it's really difficult. But I also think that if you're not in a place where you do want to say yes every day, like, there are other, like, step out. Maybe you need to for a little while and do something else. I also don't think we give people enough grace for that. And I hate that for people. Like, I hate that if there was, even just locally, some pastor who just, like, nothing happened. He didn't have a moral failure. Nothing terrible happened in his life. But he just decided, like, I'm drifting too much. I need to step down. What would come out of it isn't, like, initially wouldn't be, like, this, you know.
Good for you.
Yeah, overwhelming, support. I don't know, support, yeah, or grace for that. It would be, like, do you know what happened?
Yeah.
Like, my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you think he was fired? Do you think he resigned? And I hate that.
But it would be masked as concern.
Yes. Yo, yeah.
Yeah.
If there was, like, one thing I could change, I think that we would really help people transition in healthier ways if that didn't exist. But
yeah.
It does. And so that's where the hard exterior and the tender heart has to come in. And you should be the one to step down if you know that the tender heart is no longer tender.
Yeah. And if you don't know if your heart is tender, it's probably your answer. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I want you to read that Instagram post.
Which, Kristen Kane?
I don't know.
Oh.
The church hurt.
Which one? Oh, no, not Kristen Kane. I do love her.
Well, you can read whatever that one you're
referring to as well. No, hers was the, remember that one? I've read it on here before. Oh, I just, like, loved it.
Yeah, I do kind of remember that.
I can't even remember now. It was something to her younger self or something.
Yes.
I mean, she's going to say everything that we could have said wrapped up in one little post. To the ones with church hurt. The ones who hurt you may never admit this. You may never hear them say these words, so I'll say it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if your gifts were used until you felt so run down you forgot that you used to love to do this. I'm sorry if someone told you that you were only worth the amount of time and effort you clocked in at church. I'm sorry if you had to help grow a church over growing yourself. I'm sorry if someone tried to be your God, that they tried to convince you that their voice was the only one you should listen to, that they told you to change decisions you made because they didn't agree with you. I'm really sorry you were hurt so bad you started to question every relationship around you. I'm sorry if you started to question God. If you thought he was going to be just like them, too often we associate church hurt with God, but God is not a building. He's not a pastor. He's not the one that betrayed you, hurt you, stole from you, lied to you, pushed you, worked you to your death, broke you down, and emotionally abused you. These words don't just come from my own experience. It's the stories from others that I've collected over the years. The saddest part I hear is the people who walk away from God and the church because of the pain others caused them. This kind of hurt can't be covered by a Band-Aid or hope that that time will heal it. This takes work, and it takes being open again. God never called us to do life alone, and a church that has healthy leaders and a safe place that allows you to grow as you're figuring it all out is the kind of place to be planted. I don't have the answers for a lot of the hurt the church has caused the people around me, but I do know one thing. God is not like them. End scene.
Amen.
It's real.
Yeah.
That about summarizes all my sentiments.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a better ending than that, so if you do, go ahead, but that's, I think, all I have left to say.
No, I think she wrapped it up in a pretty good bow right there. Mm-hmm. I think we want to bring a couple people on, because there's different parts of this we could have gone deeper into, so I would say, I don't know, it's more like introductory.
Yeah, I would say it's an intro.
To the church hurt side of stuff, but I really do think that we grew up a lot being told that we couldn't feel certain ways towards God or bring certain emotions to him. And I think that I like that post encourages you to bring all the emotions and all the mistrust and all the pain, even if you think he caused it. It's just a whole different view. It's a whole different God, I think, than maybe what we were raised to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or taught the behaviors needed to look like.
Yeah. Yeah. The behavior over the, yeah.
Yep.
Communication.
Amen. Well,
on a lighter note.
Yeah. What do you got?
What's trending?
What do you got
for trending? You?
I got a couple things.
Okay, share.
Number one, I'm going to really, like, throw myself back here. I used to listen to, like, punk a little bit. Pop punk.
Like, every band has just left my mind.
Yeah. Well, I've recently gotten back into The Main.
Oh, okay.
Do you listen to The Main? Have you ever?
Like, one or two songs, not anything crazy. Who's the one I'm thinking of, though? It's not
All Time Low, Taking Back Mayday Sunday. Parade.
Mayday Parade. That's what I was thinking of. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
I've seen Mayday Live.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
You've also seen Dermot Kennedy Live, and that's just annoying to me.
Yeah, I have. So I've been back into the May,
which is hilarious. Like, release new things, or is it still old? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but, like...
Do you like the new things, or do you just like the old? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really do. So that's been good. It's actually an album from, I think, 2018. It's black with hands. I couldn't tell you the name of it off the top of my head.
Go on Spotify and look up black album.
Yeah. Second thing that is trending in my world is, like, my old playlists. I'm not gonna steal. I'm not gonna steal your thunder.
You
but, like,
just took mine, and you know you did. No.
What I'm saying is, like, John, your husband, asked me to create a playlist.
Yeah.
For his event.
Yeah.
And I just was like scrolling through my old stuff. And you already had one made.
That was probably fine.
Well, no, I pulled stuff from multiple. Mm-hmm. But, like, I used to create some good ones.
Yeah, I know. And then you stopped. You put all your creative efforts towards work or something, and you stopped making playlists for us.
Well,
in college, I used to get a new one every month. Liam still listens to it.
I know, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, my 3-year-old favorite song right now is
Portugal the Man.
Yeah. What's the left Feel hand?
Yeah, Left Hand Free.
Yes, Left Hand. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Left Hand Free. Remix, specifically.
The remix, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he literally goes to school, shimmy down, bang, bang. My 3-year-old.
It's so good.
He's obsessed with it. He won't be in my car without listening to it. Yeah. Anyway, that's like the last playlist you ever made me, so cool.
Well, I don't have a CD player anymore.
I don't need a CD. It's called Spotify. You just make it and they send it.
I will. I mean, I just gave your husband a new one.
I still have some collaborative ones from us from like years ago.
Yeah, those are good too.
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah, years.
I just found them a little while ago.
Yeah.
So since she already said it, she has one specifically. So she searched Jamie Bofferding on Spotify. I think this is for the public.
Uh-huh.
I'm just subscribed to it, I think. But it's called Autumn Leaves. Mm-hmm. Like leaves... Like you're going out the door.
Like autumn leaves.
Yeah, but that's also how you spell leaves. Wow. I just had a
whole
epiphany. I thought it was some creative, like, you were like doing a play on words, and I'm just not realizing like it would also be multiple leaves. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. Autumn Leaves XX16.
Yeah.
That means 2016 in Jamie language. Mm-hmm. So she made that in 2016. Really good one. It actually is a fall playlist. Like, I was looking. I'm so humbled to say this because it's going to be the like best thing she's ever heard, and she's going to feel so good about herself all day. So happy to make your day.
Well,
but I was
God
searching.
Forbid.
I was searching literally for 2 days all of Spotify. Like, wow, there are like no just good fall playlists. It's so annoying. Scrolling through my playlist, see what I'm subscribed to. Of course, it's Jamie's, and it's autumn. Starts the autumn, so it's like this one must be like folly. I haven't stopped listening to it. So much so that my husband walked in the bathroom when I was getting ready the other day, and he said, hey, what playlist is this? And I wanted to say I made it, but I didn't. I was like, why do you like it? And he was like, yeah, can you send it to me? Who is it? And I was like, Jamie made it. And he was like, wow, she's going to be so blessed by this conversation. And I was like, yeah, she will.
Yeah, and then 2 days later, he asked me to create one
for
his event.
I mean, I'm just saying, you can hire Jamie for all of your DJ needs because she does have the beats. So, Autumn Leaves, that is a great one. That's trending in my world.
Anything else?
Have to say Adele.
Well,
single.
Yeah.
I mean, that should be trending in everyone's world, so.
I've been waiting for this for years.
Yeah. She is one of the artists that the more, it gets better the more I listen to it.
Yep.
Like, I like it more every single time I listen to it.
Yep.
That is not true of everyone I listen to.
I just love her, too.
I might like it the same.
I love what she writes.
I love her her video for this one.
Yeah.
Easy on Me?
Yeah.
Easy on Me.
Good.
I'm supposed to say Easy on You for some reason. But yeah, Easy on Me.
Yep.
I like the video a lot. Yep. I just like all of the everything. The look, the feel, everything about it.
Yep.
That one's really good. I don't have like really tons of things trending in my world outside of those two things because I don't really do that much. So.
Yeah. Travel is trending in my world.
Yes. You just got back from Seattle.
Yep. Seattle. Was in Portland.
For those who are
outside
wondering,
of Portland for a bit too.
I had 3 people text me, wow, look, Jamie got her wish to be on the beach in,
are you serious?
Like, in boots or whatever, winter clothes basically.
Sweater.
And I was like, wow, I don't know why so many people know that. I forgot you said it on the last episode.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, I think you did, because I was like, how do so many people know this?
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, no, they knew. So they were really happy for you.
I don't know if they texted me about it, but
no, they didn't. They texted me though.
Do I know them?
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Hey.
She was blessed.
Yeah, I was.
She has some great pictures there in black and white.
Yep.
Did you post the one of Corden that looked like it should be in a magazine?
I think so.
I hope so.
I think.
Well, it was really good. If not, we're never post it again.
Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have those albums, those playlists. I will regret saying this later, but the Kid Leroy is high on my playlist right now, and I'm just saying it. Do what you will.
Like the whole album? I need the to whole listen album. To it.
The whole album. I'll never admit that I said it again, although this is going to be forever
displayed. Yeah, it's
not scary. Yeah.
This is in the world forever.
Yeah, yeah. Right, well, that's why sometimes I'm careful.
Well, I'm careful too. All right. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know what you thought of today's episode by tagging us on social media. This is Trendish. We'll see you soon.